Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures this morning to the first chapter of Paul's first epistle to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The text this morning in connection with the administration of the sacrament is the 15th verse. The Word of God at 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, that is love, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. There ends our reading of God's word this morning. I call your attention to verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let's pray together. Bless, Heavenly Father, the ministry of thy word in our midst, as we prepare to partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Give us good understanding, and by thy Spirit, apply the word to our life and calling in this world. Forgive our sins, for Christ Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Our text this morning sets forth the fundamental truth of the gospel. Verse 11 speaks of that glorious gospel of the blessed God. Our text gives us the content of that glorious gospel. This is it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying, says the apostle. He introduces the words of our text with that formula, which he uses in a few other passages in this first epistle to Timothy. By that expression, this is a faithful saying, the apostle means several things. First of all, he means that what he is about to say is the truth. Read the statement that way. This is a truthful saying. This is why the saying is worthy of all acceptation, because it is the truth. That this saying is a faithful saying also implies that the saying is of the greatest significance. What can be more significant for guilty, damn-worthy sinners than this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save such sinners? That this is a faithful saying also implies that the saying can only be received by faith. Only by faith will a man or a woman confess that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and only by faith will the child of God add, "Of whom I am the chief." That this is a faithful saying, in the fourth place, indicates that this is a saying that must be defended. There are those who deny this saying, who contradict this saying. There were those in the congregation at Ephesus, where Timothy was pastor, who denied this saying. This is the truth, that the Church of Jesus Christ in every age is called to defend, no matter what the cost. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I call your attention to that faithful saying this morning at our communion service under the theme, the salvation of the chief of sinners. The salvation of the chief of sinners. Let's notice, in the first place, Christ, the Savior of sinners. Secondly, Paul, the chief of sinners. And finally, God, the one who alone is worthy of the praise of sinners. The emphasis of the saying that the apostle sets forth in the text is on the word sinners. That comes out even in our English translation of the text. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. But this is especially the case in the Greek original. In the Greek original, that word sinners is brought forward. That's one of the ways in which the New Testament underscores and emphasizes something, so that you could read the text. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to save. Sinners to save. That really is an awful word. It ought to be a terrifying word to us. Sinners. We've lost the terror that we ought to feel at that word. We use the word so frequently in our conversation, in our prayers, in our Bible study, that pretty soon the word loses its impact, its significance. The wicked world in which we live does everything it can to avoid that word. The world doesn't talk about sin. It talks about a disorder, an addiction, a sickness, a malady. It speaks of dysfunctional behavior. But the world will not speak of sin. The gospel speaks of sin. The gospel declares sin to be sin. It underscores the seriousness of sin. Sin as rebellion against God. Sin as hatred of God and the refusal to do the will of God. Sin as it incurs guilt before God, the worthiness of the sinner to suffer the judgment and punishment of God because of his sin. The sinner as the object of God's wrath. Sinners, they are. It isn't just that they do sinful things, speak sinful words, think sinful thoughts, but they are sinners. That's what the apostle says in the text. This is the faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world not to save those who do sinful things, but Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to save. They are sinners. That's their nature, their very makeup. They are sinners because they stand guilty for the sin of Father Adam. Sinful they are with original sin. Sinners they are because they come into the world totally depraved, sinful in every aspect of their being. And sinners they are because of their actual sinful deeds, sinful words, and sinful thoughts. Sinners to save. That's the testimony of the sacrament this morning. That explains the broken bread and the poured out wine. That explains the broken body and the shed blood. His body was broken and his blood was shed for sinners to save sinners. The objects of Christ's salvation are only sinners. Clearly, It contradicts the teaching of the apostle in the text to add those who are partly sinful. Those who are sinful, but also in certain respects good, and the objects of God's favor and of His love. Clearly, that contradicts the faithful saying. The faithful saying is, Christ Jesus came into the world sinners. They are only sinners. Sinners through and through to save. It ought to be obvious how contrary to the faithful saying to add to the words of the apostle, but partly good. Christ Jesus came into the world. Came into the world in order to suffer and to die, not just for those who are sinful in part, but for those who are sinners in themselves, nothing but sinners. Although the apostle speaks of those whom Christ Jesus has come into the world to save as sinners, clearly it is not the apostles' teaching in the text that Christ Jesus came into the world to save all sinners. Now, it's not the purpose of the apostle in the text to focus on which sinners Christ Jesus came into the world to save. Nonetheless, from what the apostle says in the text, it's plain that Christ Jesus did not come into the world, did not suffer the breaking of His body and the shedding of His blood in order to save all sinners. That's plain from the language of the text itself. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not to make salvation possible for sinners, dependent on the exercise of their free will, whether they will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus Christ has not come into the world in an attempt to save sinners, desiring to save all sinners, but succeeding in the end only in saving some sinners. That's not the text. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He saves those sinners, all those sinners that He has come into the world in order to save. Every one of them given to Him by His Heavenly Father, every one of them on behalf of whom He lays down His life. Every one of them are saved by His death. Clearly, the will of God in the decree of election is worked out in the cross of Jesus Christ. He saves sinners. The very thing that the apostle teaches in the text was being denied in the congregation at Ephesus. False teachers in that congregation, two of whom are named at the end of this chapter, Hymenaeus and Alexander were teaching that Jesus Christ came into the world to save those who made themselves worthy of his suffering and death, contributed to his salvation by their own works, if only the work of circumcision, over against that false teaching. That false teaching that has threatened the church from the time of the apostles down to the present day, over against that false teaching. This is the faithful saying: Christ Jesus came into the world sinners to save. We are helpless then when it comes to our own salvation. We are the objects of salvation. We do not save ourselves. Our salvation from beginning to end is the work of the one who came into the world, sinners, to save. That one is Christ Jesus, the Lord. Not only does the gospel call men not to trust at all in themselves for their salvation, but the gospel calls us to faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone. That's the testimony of the sacrament this morning. This is the faithful saying: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The text calls Jesus the Christ. That comes first. That's not the usual order. Usually, the scriptures and we speak of Jesus Christ. But the order in the text is Christ Jesus, and that order is deliberate. It's deliberate because it underscores the truth that this Jesus is the Christ. He is God's Messiah. He is the anointed one. God has anointed him. God has sent him into the world. He comes as God's representative, and he comes to do God's work among men. The apostle says concerning him that he came into the world. That too is significant. That's significant because it implies Christ's pre-existence. And because he is the pre-existent one, he is God. God himself. That's the case, isn't it? I came to Hudsonville this morning from Granville. That I came to Hudsonville implies that before I came, I existed. And if I did not already exist, I could not have come. That Christ Jesus comes into the world implies his pre-existence as the eternal Son of God. And that too, we must know. We must know that the one whose body was broken and blood was shed was himself God the Son. If he is not God, neither can he then suffer what we sinners deserve on account of the guilt of our sins. If he is not God, he cannot bear the infinite wrath of God so as to save sinners. But he is. This belongs to the faithful saying. This is the heart, the very heart of the gospel, that the Savior of sinners is God, the Son of God himself. In the text, the apostle puts himself forward as an example of this faithful saying, of whom, he adds, I am chief. The apostle asserts that he personally is the chief of the sinners whom Christ Jesus came into the world to save. Very often, what the apostle says here about himself is misunderstood and misapplied. Some suppose that the apostle exaggerates here. What he says is not really true, at least not literally true. He overstates the truth, and he does it for the sake of emphasis. Others suppose that what the apostle says here is true as far as his own consciousness is concerned, his own experience. And there's some truth in that explanation. According to that explanation, then, the apostle only considers himself. He isn't actually the chief of sinners, but he considers himself to be the chief of sinners because he knows himself. And he knows himself as no one else knows him. For that reason, in his own estimation, he is the chief of sinners. As I said, there's truth in that. We know ourselves as no one else knows us. The secrets within that only God knows. Not even our spouse sitting next to us in church this morning, or our children, or our closest friends. Because he knows himself, the apostle says that he is the chief of sinners. Although there's truth in that, I am convinced that we must allow the apostle's words to stand. By what he says, the apostle gives a clear example of the faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners, to say. He points to himself personally as the great illustration of the very truth that he is setting forth in the text, the faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners, to say. This is true of me, says Paul, because I am the chief of sinners. What's true of me as the chief of sinners is not true of you or of you or of anyone else. Of me. Me, Paul. The greatest illustration of the faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners, to save. At the very beginning of the New Testament, as an example that will live throughout the New Testament age until Christ Jesus returns. I, Paul, am the chief of sinners. He reflects in the first part of verse 13 upon the reason on account of which he is the chief of sinners, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He persecuted God's people. He blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ. He hunted Christians down and killed them, shedding their blood exactly because they confessed this faithful saying, Christ Jesus is my Savior. That's why he goes on in verse 16, the verse that immediately follows the text, to say, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern, an example to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The apostle refers to his sinful life prior to his conversion. I, Paul, I am the chief of sinners, the most outstanding of all the sinners that Christ Jesus came into the world to save. I persecuted to the death those who confessed Christ's name. This shows us that the very worst sins are not the sins of the flesh, as we often imagine. Drunkenness, fornication. But the worst sins are the sins of hatred of God and hatred of Jesus Christ and persecution of the church of Jesus Christ. That, of all sins, is the greatest. So Paul is an example, an illustration of the faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. At the dawn of the New Testament, this example that would shine all the way through the ages of the New Testament. What a power of grace. What a salvation that could save even the greatest of sinners. Not only did he raise the chief of sinners out of the gutter and give him membership in Christ's church, but he gave that sinner an office, and he made that chief of sinners an apostle of Jesus Christ. Don't doubt then whether or not Christ could save you, sinner that you are. Don't doubt the power of this blood to cover even your sins. If God could and did save the chief of sinners, he is able also to save you and to save me. This truth, illustrated in Paul's life, worthy of all acceptation, is a truth that glorifies God. On account of it, the sinner is bound to give glory, all the glory for his salvation, to God. All this truth of salvation by grace alone is worthy of all acceptation by pastors and by office bearers. The application is first of all to Timothy, the pastor in Ephesus. Paul is writing these words to him. First of all, every office bearer must embrace the truth of the faithful saying. And if you don't, you ought not to serve in the office of Christ. This is a faithful saying. I know it by my own experience. Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners, to save. This truth is worthy of all acceptation by every member of the Church of Jesus Christ, young and old alike. This is the truth that you must apply to yourself this morning. This is the truth that must live in your own heart and consciousness. I am a sinner. I am a great sinner. But God be praised, Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners, to save. This truth is worthy of all acceptation by every child of God. I know myself. I know what a sinner I am. But right along with that knowledge, the truth of the faithful saying proclaimed in the gospel, Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners, to save. Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word unto our hearts as we've heard it this morning. And use that word also to confirm us as worthy partakers of this meat and drink. For Christ's sake, amen.